Okay, so let's take up this last case over here. Before we get back to the Gemara we started with. All right, so it's an interesting question. Hard to define, though. Simple question, but hard to define. Let's boimine Rav Hillel. Rav Hillel may Rabba. May Rabba. Yeah. Okay, so his question is like this. Yesh muktzul chatzis Shabbos, so ain muktzul chatzis Shabbos. So now Rashi is very careful to explain this question. Right? What is Rashi's explanation? Go ahead. Yesh muktzul chatzis Shabbos. What happened to Johnny? Ah, go ahead. Ah! Right? You got that? Good. So what is Rashi explaining? Explaining what the question is and what the question is not. By the way, we're on Chaf Vav and Beis and Beitza. Anybody's keeping track? Right. Now, as Rashi's showing you, the question is not if something can be muktza in the middle of a Shabbos for a certain amount of time in Shabbos. That's not the question. Yesh muktza l'chatzis Shabbos does not mean is it possible for something to start out not muktza, become muktza, and then and become muktza at some point in the middle of a Shabbos. That's not the question. The question is, can you have a muktza for the rest of Shabbos because it was muktza for a part of Shabbos? You got the difference there?
From the beginning?
In other words, there's no question that a thing that the Grogers and Smukim, let's say, that become, go back to Grogers and Smukim, there's no question that during the time that they're inedible, they're muktza. That's not Hillel's question. He wants to know if that period of time will create a muktza for the rest of Shabbos. Can you have a muktza mishum chatzis Shabbos? Not can you have a muktza that lasts for a bit of Shabbos. That, of course, you can have. There's no question about that. Question is, will a part of Shabbos create muktza for the rest of Shabbos? Right? See how Rashi says that? Yesh muktza l'chatzis Shabbos means mishum chatzis Shabbos. If it's muktza for half of it, will it be muktza for the rest of it? But there's no question. Hillel's question was not, if something starts out usable, can it become so unusable that it's muktza in the middle of Shabbos? Of course it can. We have plenty of cases like that. We have plenty of cases like that. You have the klipos and you have the klipos from the agozim. Starts out Shabbos, it's part of the food. You crack them, crack open the food, and they're muktza. So they're muktza. They only were muktza for half Shabbos. There's no question that there can be something that becomes muktza in the middle of Shabbos. That's not the question. That's a no-brainer. Right? The question is, will a muktza that's only existing in a part of the Shabbos make a muktza for the whole Shabbos? Or, to put it into categories that you're familiar with, is the muktza at any point in Shabbos like muktza in Bein HaShemashos? If you want to think about it that way. I'm not sure if that's the right way to think about it or not, but
that it's
going to
happen though, right?
No. You don't have to know. Right now, it's muktza. Okay, so now is it going to have to be, is it definitively muktza now for the rest of Shabbos? Because right now it's muktza. Shabbos starts, it wasn't muktza. Okay. Right? Okay. So the Gemara says, what's the case? Another interesting Rashi. What's the case? So Rashi's bothered by what? Let's see, Rashi, go
ahead.
Okay, so Rashi has to explain why the Gemara has a hard time finding the case, right? Why does the Gemara have a hard time finding the case? So he says, you have to understand, when the Gemara hears the word Muktzah, it immediately assumes talking about Grower Gorsin Tzmuchim. Okay, so Stam Muktzah in the Gemara means Grower Gorsin Tzmuchim. Now what did the Grower Gorsin Tzmuchim, they're the fruits, the, what are they, figs? Figs and dates, figs and raisins, figs and grapes, that that you put up on the what's that? Okay. That you put up on the roof to dry. Okay. And you designate them for this, that they should dry. And you completely remove them from your das, right? That they're totally designated for this. And once they start drying, they're not roy until they are completely dry. So how do you have a case where it's half a Shabbos? How do you have a case like that? Rashi is explaining why the Gemara has a difficulty finding a case, because we're talking about grogers with simukim. That's the normal association of muktzah. Normal. Meaning of muktzah is grogers with smukim. Okay, so why is it so hard to find a case? Go ahead. So if they were ready, if their work was done, bein hashmashos, what does that mean?
Why is he saying if their work was done?
It means that the work that was done to them was done. Go ahead. But what's the banish mushers mean?
Another defined word.
All right. What's the question that comes to your mind when you're reading this Rashi? Then they're not even muktzah of half a day. When?
How far into the Shabbos?
Why do you read this Rashi?
For all of
them. That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. What's that? We established it. Okay, good. But we established it based on all of those facts that we had. Here's a new fact. We don't want to cram the new fact into the old svar.
We established
that none of you believed me when I told you that the word kol could mean a kol shehu with regard to banish mushrooms. That we established clearly. I don't know. When I saw this Rashi, another wasn't sure. What does it mean? It's not clear again.
He doesn't use any qualifying words. No, but
maybe we'll have to
banish.
Right, Mustafa, you would say
like between the
any time during the banish rushes. You would say, right? I mean, at plain shot, you would say any if it finished any time during banish rushes. No. That's the plain reading of it.
Meaning that any time that it's not fuzzy during banish rushes, culture that it's not fuzzy to define it anymore.
No, the opposite way. That if it's ro'oi, if it becomes ro'oi during Bein HaShemashos, then ain't kind of fibu chatzi Shabbos.
Not for Bein HaShemashos.
Right?
So
it's against the way we conclude.
Isn't that hard? Because then if you're saying that a culture and Bein HaShemashos...
It's against the way we learned the other Rashis.
You're saying if you have a culture, how can it go both ways? That a culture that's not ro'oi is going to make it...
Okay, he's not listening to me, right? I said it's a stira. It goes against what we said last time.
No, he's trying to say.
No, what I'm trying to say, even understanding that, you know, the question is, to make something muktzah or non-muktzah, you need just a kol shehu during Bein HaShemashos. That's a question. Do you need the whole thing or do you need a kol shehu? Right?
Right.
So I'm saying, in the understanding that you need a kol shehu, right? So you, let's say you have a kolshu that is roi and a kolshu that is not roi. You could have both.
No, so right, obviously you can't have that. So no, the question is, does it have to be roi for the entire Benish Mashos? It's just a question of which side you're starting with. Does it have to be roi for the whole Benish Mashos? Or is it okay if it's roi any time during Benish Mashos? And then the only time it would be muksa if it were, is if it was muksa for the entire Benish Mashos. Right? You're right, you can't say that if it's roi anytime during Benish Mashos is okay, and if it's muksa anytime during Benish Mashos is muksa. That obviously is going to be a contradictory statement. Contradictory rules. So, but the question is, Rashi over here, you could read Rashi over here to mean that if it becomes roi during Benish Mashos, then it's okay. In other words, it's only going to be muksa if it was not roi at any time during Benish Mashos, meaning it was muksa for the entire Benish Mashos. We'll just have to chalk it up to another one of those problems. Go ahead. V'id lo ichzu Benish Mashos. You see, now you can get to a sphere, right? Now you can get into Chaim Stier. If you're going to interpret, it as a kolshu, right?
Any amount.
Okay, so we've concluded, I think, that you can't say he's talking about part of Benish Mashos, right? Because then it would be a stira, right? Then it'd be a stira. You can't say if it's roi for part of Benish Mashos, then it's good. And if it's not roi for part of, and if it's not roi, no, did I get that wrong?
You can have it.
Right. You can't be saying if it's roi for a part, then it's not muksa at all, and then move on to the next statement and say, and if it is not roi during a part of Benish Mashos, then it's muksa, because the roi during a part of Benish Mashos is simultaneous with not roi for a part of Benish Mashos. Right? So that can't be. So we've concluded, after some good sleuthing, some good detective work here, that what?
We don't know.
No. No.
He must be talking about the whole thing.
He must be talking about the whole thing.
For which one?
For one of them.
No. So then does it work out? So the first one is saying, if it is roi for the entire Benish Mashos, then it's good. And the second one is saying, if it is not, but what happens when it's half and half?
Yeah.
So we're still stuck.
What was the last point?
The last point is that we certainly can't read Benish Mashos meaning during Benish Mashos, because then you get opposite things. So you have to say it means for the entire Benish Mashos. So then all he's telling you is if it's roi for the entire Benish Mashos, it's definitely not muksa. And if it's not roi for the entire Benish Mashos, then it is muksa. But we still don't know about what about when it's half and half. Which one is preference? Which one takes precedence? And so the only one way to get out of this whole problem, when he says Benish Mashos, he means at the beginning of Benish Mashos. He's talking about a time, a point in time. Then you remove the problem. Right? In other words, Benish Mashos is a certain, the beginning, he means when it becomes Benish Mashos.
Going into
Benish Mashos. So then the rule is, it has to be roi going into Benish Mashos. If it's not roi going into Benish Mashos, then it's no good. And then Mamela is going to have to be roi the entire time. Right? And the reason is, because he explains. Because if it's not roi when Benash going into Benash Mashos, it's usher because it lacks an hachana mibod yom. See, that's the real idea. The real idea is that you need the hachana mibod yom. And Shabbos effectively starts at Benash Mashos. So you need to say that mibod yom, it was muchan. So if it wasn't... If it wasn't ready from when Benash Mashos starts, or really like a little bit before Benish Mashos, right? Going into Benish Mashos, it wasn't ready. Then in terms of our relationship to Shabbos, it wasn't Muchan the Shabbos. So it doesn't matter if at some point in the middle of Benish Mashos it's Roy. That's not going to make it a Muchan mi ba'od yom in terms of how we understand Shabbos. So it's against the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Okay, go ahead.
Is this all within Rabbi Yehuda's shita?
Everybody.
You know, Shimon holds by like a Bein HaShemashos?
Yep. Everything gets defined from Bein HaShemashos. Everything gets defined when the Shabbos starts. Good. Umandisli mukta hachanami bojom boy. Dichsiv bayom hashishi vechini v'shiyaviyo. A strange Rashi to quote there. But does he mean to say, doesn't everybody offer mukta? And is it really from this pasuk? This pasuk is saying that it's daraisa. This pasuk in Psachim is quoted to say that for Rabbah, that Rabbah holds achon is muktzah is daraisa. But what does he mean, man de isle muktzah? Doesn't everybody hold from some sort of a muktzah? Right? As I said, the Maharam or the Maharshal says this is just a smachta. Rashi doesn't really mean it as a drusha, not a real drusha, that this is talking about muksa midaraisa. What he means to say, the Indian of muksa comes from this idea of the pasuk. They're going to argue about exactly how you what it relates to, but it is a little bit troubling how Rashi says man de isle muksa.
You're not just using language.
I
mean, it could be he means this whole machlokas going to Rabbi Yehuda, but I saw the Shita Mikubetza says this machlokas is universal, so it will be for Rabbi Yehuda's side and for Rabbi Shimon's side, depending on whatever Indian they're in. I mean, we're going to learn, is Rashi saying that it's only a machlokas, it's only within Rabbi Yehuda's Shita?
Well, Rabbi Shimon holds that as long as it's ro'oi during
Right.
So let's say it's right during Bein HaShemashos, and then.
Okay. So anyway, so why is Gorgos with Smukim pose this problem? Because it's the type of thing that that they start out not right, and there's no clear way to tell when they're going to become ready, and that's why if they're not right during Bein HaShemashos, then they're muktzah for the whole day. And if they are ready during Bein HaShemashos, then they're okay for the whole day. And it's not the type of thing that changes back and forth. So how are you going to have grogos and tzimukim that are half a day no good? If it's half a day no good, then it's going to have to be the first half of the day. Because they start out no good and they become good. So that means when Shabbos started, they weren't good. So if when Shabbos started, they weren't good, there's no hachana mibod yom. That's clear. And then they're muktzah for the whole day. Unless he just means mandisle muksa, meaning each one according to his own system of muksa, everybody's going to agree it's based on the idea of achana. It's hard to say that this whole machlok is not according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is moda begorgos v'tzimukim. That's exactly the case he's moda. Okay, so anyway, so what's the case that it comes out to? So how do we have it's chatziyom? So you have it like this, that it starts out when Bein HaShemashos starts as good. By the way, I told you Ramosha has that in the tshuva, that any time during Bein HaShemashos is going to make it. Well, the question becomes like this. Well, okay, go ahead. So then, the question is if Bein HaShemashos is different than just meaning the beginning of Shabbos. As let's say it starts out good in Bein HaShemashos, and then for a minute, let's say you had this whole problem in the middle of Bein HaShemashos. I mean, it's mistava that as long as it's muchan when Bein HaShemashos starts, then the rest of the day is just considered like the rest of Shabbos. Okay, anyways, let's see the question. So it's chazi in Bein HaShemashos, v'idchu b'Shabbos, shenofel alehen gishamim, v'tofchu, so they swelled up, v'hoder ichzu, and then later on they became roy again, sheshoz foson hashemesh. The sun dried them out. Right? That's from Shir Shirim. Right. V'komi boilon hach shaita diskatsu mi osra lo kulu yoma olo. Now that is the question. that since it became muktza for that moment, does it become usher for the whole day or not? Very difficult question, theoretically. What is exactly the theoretical question? There's really nothing to go on over here. But let's take a look at the next case. Interesting case. I think the cases help a little bit. I think the Bechor case helps a little bit. Because you see how far it goes. So what's the case?
What would this question be according to Rabbi Shimon? He holds that things are automatically, basically they're generally roi. And if you have a reason why it's not roi, then...
But the roi is still what sort of what's going to define his muchan. I mean, he goes by the... if it enters Shabbos with a shame, with something that it can be used for, so that's what gives it its shame kli or shame heftza for Shabbos, right? Its possibilities. But you have to learn in general. You have to learn that the grogos for tzimukim are not considered roy. Like the Gemara says later, in the very end of the Gemara says that if it's Gomra Bidei Adam, right? Remember we did that in the Tshuva? Gomra Bidei Adam, the Gemara says, is not the question. That's why even though food on Erev Shabbos is too hot to eat, right? You don't say, well, during Rosh Hashanah you can't eat it, so during Hol Shabbos is Muktzah. So the Gemara says, because that's Gomra Bidei Adam. So the Rishonim say, I mean, Eri says clearly, that it means to say that the process is under your control and foreseeable. But the grogos at Tzimukim, you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the sun will get cloudy in an hour. Maybe whatever, it'll get too cold. Who knows? Something can happen. That it's out of your control. It's not a question of whether it's really something you do with your hands. It's a question of whether it's a definite thing or not. You can't call it roy if it's just a possibility. Okay, so it's a different question.
It starts Shabbos.
Right, so our question is, it starts Shabbos Roy. Right, then it becomes Muktzah in the middle, and then it becomes Roy again. So what's the question? How do you understand the question? The difficult question to understand. I don't know, what would you say? What's your gut svara? You had a gut svara? I just want to see the Bechor case. Can we just see the Bechor case? Because I think it might correct certain notions. Go ahead. Let's take the Bechor case. You have it outside, we can just do it outside. What's the case? The case is like this. The Bechor is born... We'll do the Rashi's. Rashi's important. The Bechor, you have an animal gives birth to a Bechor, to a firstborn, right? So what's the din? So you can't eat the Bechor. It says Kedusha, correct? But if it was born with a mum, but if the Bechor has a mum, so then you can be poda, right? Then you can eat the Bechor, right? The only thing is you have to have an expert chacham evaluate the mum, right? That's the rule. That's the halacha. So the Gemara asks the question like this: the Mishnah. This is how it comes up. It comes up from this Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this: that if the Bechor was born with its mum, then it's considered muchan. Okay. So the Gemara says, why? Why don't you say that the Bechor initially was roy? Through the mother, right? So Rashi explains, because Bein Hashmashos, the mother was pregnant with the animal, with the Bechor, right? And it was roy to shecht it. It's talking about a Yom Tov case. It was roy to shecht the mother. And you could eat both of them. And it wouldn't matter whether the Bechor was a Tam or a Baal Mum. Because there's no Kedushas Bechor until Leda, right? So if you have an animal that's pregnant with the firstborn, so, you don't say there's a Kedushas Bechor mi beten, right? The Kedushas Bechor comes from the Leda. So whether the bechor, whether that fetus has a mum or not, it's roy to shech to eat it agav ima. Agav ima, right? So that's bein hashmashos. So bein hashmashos, the bechor, the calf, was roy for Yom Tov, right? Because bein hashmashos, you could have eaten it, right, Morris? And then what happened? It was born. And it became osur. It was nidche, idchile. Why is it idchile? So very interesting Rashi. Shehoya bechezkas bechor tam, v'osur ad sheyire mumo. So the truth of the matter is, once the mumche looks at it, he'll tell you whether this mum was a mum to remove the kedusha or not. And that's the same mum it had from the beginning it was born. So the mafreya will turn out that it was born without a problem. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter, because muksa has to do with how you relate to the chefza. It's a very interesting Rashi. Muksa has to do with how you relate to the chefza. So once the bechor is born, to you it's nidche. Because to you it has a chezkas bechor tam. And for you there's an iser until you figure out whether it's what the mum is. Right? So one, and then, so in other words, so again, so it starts out Shabbos, starts out Yontif Chazi. When it's born with a Chezkas Tam. So it's Idchi. And then when you show it to the Chacham, it becomes Mutter. So you see, that's our case. That's exactly our case. Started out Roy, Muktza in the middle, and then it's not, then there's no Muktza for Chatzi, Mishum Chatzi Shabbos. There's no Muktza Mishum Chatzi Yontif. Right? So the Gemara says, Abaye answers, no. Or if Safra said, how do you get out of this problem? That the Dayan was watching the delivery. The Dayan was watching the delivery. Kishin Nolad, he was sitting there when the calf was born. Ukipotro et harechem, and right when it came out of the womb, ro'o es mumo, he saw the mum. Delo huktza klau. It never became muksa. So it was roy for the entire day. But if he wasn't there at the delivery, then you would have the case of a muksa for chatzi yom tov and the possibility of a muksa mishum chatzi yom tov. But over here, you just simply never had a state of muksa. So you see that the roy, now what's very interesting about this Gemara, what's very interesting about the Gemara is, why is the calf roy right now? Because of a maisa of the dayan, right? But that wasn't really mucha mibod yom. So that's very interesting. Now, it doesn't matter really exactly why it's as long as it starts out muchan through the mother, it's not like you need. That specific state from before Yontif. Just has to be continuously Mukhan. You know what I mean? If you try to work out a Svara, like I did at one point, that you need to work out the Mukhans from before, and anything in between is going to lack in your being Mukhan. That's not true, because the guy was standing there at the delivery, it still is a new cause. It still is a cause that didn't exist from before Yom Tov that's making it ready now. Right, so it's a very technical thing. It had to not have fallen into a state where it was not muchan. Right, but it doesn't matter that it's that what it's muchan from is from right now or from earlier or from before Yom Tov. The only problem would be if it falls out of being muchan. Right.
Why is it not nolad?
Because it was omid lachila. You have to say the mother was omid lachila, and it's uchla difference. Yeah, you're like a troublemaker, guy. Okay, that's good. That's good. No, so one side would be to say like this: to say yesh muksa mishum chatzi Shabbos would say that. Just add a feature to what you're saying is that. You have to have the entity has to have the shame of Shabbos, right? Or Yom Tov. And that is, but that shame of Shel Shabbos and Yom Tov can only be created the Mibod Yom. Right? Can only be defined Mibod Yom. So once, but if during the Yom of Yom Tov or Shabbos, it loses its characteristic of being Shel Shabbos because it's completely removed from any Shabbos use, right? Then the problem is it can never be reinstated because it can only be, can only gain the shame of Shel Shabbos from beforehand, right? But once the Shabbos starts, if it becomes a muktzah, meaning it's not roy at all for Shabbos anymore, so now it loses its shame of the Kli Shabbos because there's no shaychus to Shabbos in terms of its use. And it can never be reinstated because it can only be defined, Mibod Yom, going into Shabbos is the only time you can define it. Right? That's what he's saying, basically. Yeah. Okay. That's not bad, yeah.
You added that the thing can only be defined as for Shabbos, Mibod Yom, right?
So right. So I'm just, right, just finishing up the you just have to, you mean that. You have that in your svar. You just didn't express it. So what's the other side? The other side is tough. The other side seems so good. The other side is really tough. Yeah. I mean, what's interesting about this is that nobody's arguing that when it is in the state, this is what I was trying to show you from Rashi, nobody's arguing about when it is in the state of lacking use that it's muktzah. Nobody's arguing with that fact. In other words, the bechor, when it's born with the mum, nobody is disagreeing with the fact that it is muktzah at that moment. Right? That's not the question. It would seem. That's not the question. Right? So you see that it definitely does undo the state of preparation that was created from before Shabbos. You don't say, look, I prepared it from before Shabbos, now whatever happens, it definitely relates to Shabbos. You say it's not ready now, but that doesn't matter. I already put my rubber stamp on it. And that can never be removed. I already stamped it Shabbos stick. It has no use now. Who cares? I already stamped the Shabbos stick when Shabbos started. But that's not true. Everybody seems to agree that no matter, that even though it was defined as Shel Shabbos, Mibod Yom, if it actually has no use now, it's definitely muktzah. So it definitely did lose its status that was created from Mibod Yom. Which only strengthens the question of how it can come back.